And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
As Lutherans worldwide celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation on October the 31st, please remember the devastation and loss of life and property to Lutherans and others in the California wildfires. California Fire reports that most of the wildfires should be contained later this week that are burning in and around the wine country in Napa and Sonoma counties. Last week's rainfall was significant in slowing the forward spread of the blazes, according to CAL Fire spokesperson Daniel Berland. The largest fires are now over 90% contained. The latest is that 42 people have died and 8,400 buildings have been destroyed. The number is up from the 6,900 structures late last week. The fire started to ignite on October the 8th and quickly grew in size because of the heavy winds. They are the most deadly and destructive series of wildfires in California's history. The churches listed are St. John, Napa, 8 family homes including 2 preschool staff members. St. Mark, Santa Rosa, 22 family homes lost including 1 church staff member. St. Luke, Santa Rosa, 6 family homes lost including 1 church staff member. Faith, Sonoma, 1 family lost their home and business. Vineyard of Faith, Windsor, 1 member family lost their home. Good Shepherd, Healdsburg, 1 member family lost their home. The greatest loss of life and structures within the Santa Rosa area. While Napa Valley was also hard hit, the fire was largely contained to the hills around the city rather than burning directly in the city as it did in Santa Rosa. 42 people are presently confirmed dead from the fires. 3,700 plus homes have been destroyed, an acreage larger than the city of San Francisco has burned, and 400,000 square feet of commercial space was destroyed. These are all fluid numbers. In addition, other fires have been burning in the Grass Valley area, Butte County, and most recently in the Santa Cruz Mountains. At least one church member's home was destroyed in Grass Valley. Ongoing trauma and fear of the unknown are distinct challenges for members of these communities, as well as long-term adverse air quality. The ministry of presence, comfort, and face-to-face grace is of unparalleled importance. St. John's in Napa congregations, both English and Spanish, are working with their community. Team Aaron, a comfort dog, has received special mention by a county supervisor for the work St. John's is doing, offering care to those in the city and the area. Team Reuben from Yuba City has also been dispatched. Handlers bring Christian witness, prayer and support as emotional doors open. The school is preparing to minister to children and families when the doors open again this week. St. Mark's in Santa Rosa has been offering immediate care and ministry as well as nominal immediate financial support to member families, as well as offering a place to stay, interact and receive counsel to anyone in their community. St. Luke's in Santa Rosa fed families in need for several days in a row, again offering a place of respite, support and care. Vineyard of Faith in Windsor opened up their facilities and evacuation shelter, offering a space for comfort, care and respite, not far from home. Faith, Sonoma and Good Shepherd in Healdsburg have also been havens of comfort to their members and community. Grace in Cloverdale is still on the watch as an uncontained fire burns near their community. If you want to help, then 1. Pray to the Lord for rain, relief, endurance, faith, generosity and courage. Or 2. Give to the CNH Disaster Relief Fund. $30,000 has been donated so far, including a generous gift from CEF. The California, Nevada, Hawaii District will make sure 100% of your gift will be used to aid fire victims facilitated by congregations who best understand the needs. Archaeologists in Jerusalem have uncovered the first Roman public structure ever discovered in the city, believed to be a theatre. The building, which dates from the 2nd or 3rd century AD, was found below the western wall tunnels of the old city. Experts believe it may date back to Emperor Hadrian's reign and was likely used as an odeon, a venue for musical and dramatic performances. The find, described as sensational, confirms historic writings that describe a theatre near the Temple Mount. Wilson's Arch is the only intact visible structure remaining from the Temple Mount compound of the Second Temple period. The arch, built of enormous stones, is the last of a series of such arches that once constituted a gigantic bridge leading to the Temple Mount from the west. The arch stands high above the foundations of the Western Wall, and it served, among other purposes, as a passageway for people entering the Temple Mount compound and the temple. A huge aqueduct also passed over the arch. It is named for the 19th century explorer and surveyor Charles Wilson, who discovered it. Researchers from the Israel Antiquities Authority, the IAA, who made the discovery, knew the wall section was there and had expected to find a Roman street at its base. As they excavated further, they realized that instead of a street, they had uncovered a circular building beneath Wilson's Arch. The date of construction of the 200-seat auditorium, which appears to be unfinished, was confirmed by carbon dating. The IAA, who conducted a two-year dig at the site, said that historical sources mentioned similar structures, but in 150 years of modern archaeological research in the city, none have been found. The Western Wall is among the last remnants of the retaining structures which surrounded the Second Jewish Temple until its destruction by the Romans in 70 AD. Previously, the last section to be exposed was in 2007. The section of the 2,000-year-old Western Wall most recently uncovered by diggers is about 15 metres in width and 8 metres high, with the stones very well preserved. Exposing parts of the Western Wall is of course extremely, extremely, extremely exciting, Dr. Joe Uziel, one of the researchers who worked on the study, said. But the structure we are looking at right now, we had no idea would be here. IAA Chief Jerusalem Architect Dr. Yuval Barak added, "It's probably the most important archaeological site in the country, the first public structure from the Roman period of Jerusalem. We know a lot about dwelling houses, a lot about installations, water systems, roads, streets, but this is the first time we can present to the public a Roman public structure. The building could have been a meeting chamber for Roman administrative officials or a concert venue, but its location under an ancient arch which could have served as its roof gave a clue. During the 1st century AD, the Romans ruled over a relatively peaceful Jerusalem as part of its Eastern Empire. Jewish people in the city were not forced towards Christianity, with the Romans instead allowing the population to practice their religion as normal. This changed, however, when a Jewish revolt saw locals rebel against Roman intruders in 66 AD. 4 years later, the Roman army had crushed a rebellion, destroying the city's sacred temple in the process. The destruction of the temple fundamentally changed the nature of Judaism. Taxes that were once paid to the temple were now paid to Rome, and the Jewish tradition of worshipping in the temple was over. With only the Western Wall remaining of the temple in Jerusalem, local synagogues now became the new centers of the Jewish religion. This is a relatively small structure compared to known Roman theaters, a statement from the IAA said. This fact, in addition to its location under a roof space, in this case under Wilson's Arch, leads us to suggest that this is a theatre-like structure of the type known in the Roman world as an odeon. In most cases, such structures were used for acoustic performances. Alternatively, this may have been a structure known as a buletion, the building where the city council met, the IAA said. Dr. Zeal said the archaeologists worked with care, mindful of the Jewish, Muslim and Christian worshippers nearby. "We did not want to disturb any of the religious activities that were occurring in this area," he said. In 1996, the opening of a tunnel adjacent to the latest finds sparked clashes between Israeli security forces and Palestinian police and civilians, in which more than 80 people were killed. Palestinians said the tunnel threatened the foundations of the adjoining Al-Aqsa Mosque complex, Islam's third holiest site. The status of Jerusalem and its holy sites is among the most sensitive issues of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Israel sees all of Jerusalem as its undivided capital, while the Palestinians view East Jerusalem as the capital of their future state. Israel captured East Jerusalem in the 1967 Six-Day War and later annexed it in a move never recognized by the international community. During the 1st century AD, the Romans ruled over a relatively peaceful Jerusalem. Jewish people in the city were not forced towards Christianity. This changed, however, when a Jewish revolt took place. The destruction of the temple fundamentally changed the nature of Judaism. Taxes that were once paid to the temple were now paid to Rome, and the Jewish tradition of worshipping the temple was over. Attendance at Church of England services has dropped by 34,000 in a year, carrying on a long-term pattern of shrinking congregations. Church data revealed that an average of 927,000 people attended services each week in October 2016, the annual sample taken from nearly 16,000 churches across the country. To offset the dwindling numbers, the church has launched a drive to reach people online, including through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and LinkedIn. The figures mark a considerable drop in worshippers since October 2015, when an average of 961,000 people attended weekly, with the total not exceeded 1 million since 2013. The Church of England said the figures set out in the annual Statistics for Mission report were a sobering reminder of the challenges it was facing. A similar downward trend was observed at Sunday services, which attracted an estimated 740,000 people each week in 2016, dropping below 750,000 for the first time. In 2015, Sunday attendance was said to be around 752,000. Statisticians believe that the four-week October count garners more accurate figures than the so-called usual Sunday measure, which is based on church records and estimates. The worshipping community, defined as the number of worshippers who come to church once a month or more, stayed the same as in 2015, at 1.1 million. Religious content in the form of videos, blogs and podcasts now reaches an online audience of 1.2 million a month, it said. While this total appears to outstrip those actually showing up for services, the number only reflects people who have seen it online, likely to include many from other religious backgrounds or atheists who are unlikely to engage with it. William Nye, Secretary General to the General Synod, said, "At the heart of the mission of the Church of England is a commitment to proclaiming the gospel afresh in each generation." This year's Statistics for Mission provide a sobering reminder of the long-term challenge we face. This challenge is likely to persist for some years ahead. The figures on digital impact, which we are also releasing today, show one of the ways in which we are doing that, as the online dimension of people's lives become even more significant. Our challenge is to join up the growing online church life to the physical community of church that forms the body of Christ. The Church of England has apologised to alleged victims of the former Bishop of Chester, who would have been questioned over sexual abuse allegations had he not died in 1987. Bishop Hubert Victor Whitsey was accused of abuse by 10 victims, male and female, some of whom were children at the time. The former Bishop of Chester is alleged to have committed the crimes from 1974 to 1982. He was bishop during this time until his retirement in 1981. Assistant Chief Constable at Cheshire Police Nick Bailey said, "Following a thorough investigation and taking into account all the information available, it has been established that if Bishop Whitsey were alive today, as part of the investigation process, he would have been spoken to by police. This would have been in order to outline the details of the allegations made and to provide him with an opportunity to offer an account of events." In a joint statement, the Archbishop of York, Dr. John Sentamu, and the Bishop of Chester, Dr. Peter Forster, said, "We are deeply sorry and apologise to those individuals who have come forward to share their account of abuse by a bishop in the Church of England who was in a position of power and authority. We appreciate that it is very difficult for individuals to come forward and to give their account. Sexual abuse is a heinous crime, and it is an absolute and shameful breach of trust. We acknowledge that for survivors, the effects of sexual abuse are lifelong." Cheshire Police said 5 of the claims they had investigated were previously reported to members of the clergy, of which they were able to confirm one in which the victim reported what happened to members of the clergy the day after the alleged abuse. Hundreds of Christians are flocking to a church in India after students claim to have seen holy apparitions there. Several children reported seeing an image in the sky appearing to show Christ being scourged outside a church near the city of Kochi in the southwestern state of Kerala. The sighting came after a Hindu girl claimed a splash of holy water had instantly cured her ear problems. A note on the bulletin board at St. Ambrose Church, where the Christ vision was said to have taken place, said the children immediately began praying before several of them claimed to see visions of the Virgin Mary. The news drew a large crowd to the church following the week where a congregation saw a bright light, according to Matters India. The priest also claimed to feel someone patting his head. Since then, the church says it has received an influx of visitors. The first vision is believed to have taken place on September the 28th. The children who claimed to see the Virgin Mary said the Spirit promised to aid them in their studies and to take them to heaven. The adults, including the youngster's primary school teacher and the assistant pastor, Father Merton de Silva, who were in the church at the time, could not see anything. After 883 years, a Cistercian monastery in Western Germany is scheduled to close due to a shortage of monks. Financial costs and the small number of monks there led to the decision. After almost 900 years since its founding by French abbot Bernard of Clairvaux in 1134, the Cistercian Himmerod Abbey in western Germany will soon close its doors for good. The decision was made by the Merahu Congregation, a worldwide association of Cistercian monasteries based near Salzburg in Austria. The abbey is a direct subordinate of the Holy See and not part of the Archdiocese of Salzburg. Himmerod Abbey narrowly avoided bankruptcy 6 years ago, but high maintenance costs and dwindling numbers of religious have made it impossible to keep the site open. Abbot Johannes, who heads the monastery, said the financial burden of operating Himmerod, which currently only has 6 monks, led to the decision. The abbey will now be transferred into the possession of the Diocese of Trier, which has yet to say what plans it has to do with the space. The abbot said the 6 monks currently residing at Himmerod, which is in the German Eifel region, will be given the opportunity to move to the monastery of their choice. The fate of others working at the site, however, remains unclear. The abbot said despite the painful decision to close the site, he remains optimistic that it will not be simply shuttered. Himmerod will remain a spiritual site. The walls have retained its history, I am telling you. There is no way to destroy this spiritual place which has attracted people for centuries. I am certain people will continue to come here. He also voiced hope that the abbey's bookshop, plant nursery and fishery, which it leases out, will continue to operate in the future. The Cistercian order was founded in 1098 in reaction to what was seen as the abandonment of the virtues of humility by the leading monastic order at the time in Cluny. Its founders sought a simpler life, and the architecture of the order's abbeys became renowned for their elegance. The order expanded greatly under Bernard of Clairvaux, spreading unto Europe and into Scandinavia and the British Isles. That spread continued, yet the Protestant Reformation signalled a sharp decline, and the revolutions of the 18th century almost wiped out the order completely. And finally, for any very confused Lutheran listeners and anyone else, here are a few facts which may help you. Martin Luther was not a black civil rights activist. The civil rights leader was born Michael King Jr. on January the 15th, 1929. In 1934, however, his father, a pastor at Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, traveled to Germany and became inspired by the Protestant Reformation leader Martin Luther. As a result, King Sr. changed his own name as well as that of his 5-year-old son. Martin Luther was born in November the 10th, 1483 in Germany to Hans and Margareta Luder. He was born Martin Luder, but it is rumoured he opted to change his name to something more academic sounding. In January 1521, Pope Leo excommunicated Luther. He was then summoned to appear at the Diet of Worms, an assembly of the Holy Roman Empire. He refused to recant, and Emperor Charles V declared him an outlaw and a heretic. Luther went into hiding at Wartburg Castle. In 1522 he returned to Wittenberg, and in 1525 married Katharina von Bora, a former nun, with whom he had 6 children. Martin Luther died on the 18th of February 1546 in Eisleben, Germany. He was not shot on a hotel balcony in Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.